Juja Orzai. So what are the subjects that these students from Africa are studying in the university in Hungary?
In Morocco, they need education in agriculture, kindergarten teacher training, and some business studies as well, like international relations and maybe finance. Whenever we start in a new country in Africa, the first step will be to see what they need and then find the corresponding institute here in Hungary.
Why Hungary and why now?
Well, now because as we talked about it, we are trying and everybody's trying to open towards Africa again after these lost, I don't know how many years, when we were only concentrating on Europe and forgot about Africa. Why Hungary for them is, when I talked to people in Morocco, they said they would love to come to Hungary because this is a totally different culture for them to learn and discover. So it would be not just useful from the point of view of their studies, but also interesting and an adventure at the same time. Also, for Moroccan students, it's cheaper than unis in Great Britain or, of course, the United States. A lot of them go to France. I think they kind of got bored of France, and some of them even mentioned that they were not very welcomed there. Recently, I mean, there were no real problems. It's just not as interesting or exciting anymore. So Hungary is interesting, exciting, new, not too expensive, and Hungary is famous for its education.
Uh-huh. We had a guest earlier this week, maybe your colleague, Raymond Irambo,
yes,
who wasn't exactly that situation 30 years ago when he came from Congo Brazzaville to study in Hungary. He's the general secretary of your organization.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. It was very exciting to hear from a personal point of view. In the future, I would like to have some of those African visiting students here to interview.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure they will love to.
So Morocco speaks Arabic, and is there a dialect of Moroccan language there also?
They do speak Arabic. I don't think that there's a very special Moroccan Arabic, and their second language is French.
So is it French colony?
Yes, yes. And this is the one of the reasons why it's a bit difficult for us, because in Hungary it's almost impossible to find universities where they teach in French. English is okay, of course, but the students from Morocco who come here have to have a very good command of English, of course. When I was there, I experienced that more and more people speak English as well as French. At the same time, Hungarian universities also offer these prep courses, especially for English for specific purposes, so business English or the language they will need when they study at the uni.
You initiated recently the Mujahaz, yes, in Morocco. This summer, I was in the Mujahaz and I met one of our colleagues, Novak Andras, there. I invited him to the party that night in Yorkville, Manhattan, where there had been in the heyday 100,000 Hungarians,
wow,
living in that section of New York. And it was magnificent. It was like walking into a Hungarian charda or to watch the Szentendre dance, folk dance company. It was fantastic. It was the week that the Smithsonian Institute in Washington invited Hungarians to sing, dance. It was a cultural festival that was sponsored by in Washington, D.C. So what's happening in the Mujahaz in Morocco?
It's again the idea of Mr. Sándor Balogh, president of the African Hungarian Union. And the Hungarian House is and will be, as we are planning it, a center for all those people who would like to work for the, in this case, Hungarian-Moroccan relations. So it's called HTCC, Hungarian Trade and Cultural Center. At the same time, we would like to have cultural events there, and of course, if, for example, there is a short training course for Moroccan teachers, they can come to the Hungarian House to participate at that course, and there will be exhibitions and other events, and also it could be a kind of base for Hungarian businessmen who want to do business in Morocco, and they can live there, they can have a internet access and help from our colleagues who are there, and they speak the local language. So this is a kind of shelter for the Hungarians when they go to Morocco, where they can get help if they need that.
And will there be Gulyás and Fuzalék and Lecsó?
Definitely, yes. Yes, if that's what they would like to have and not try the fantastic Moroccan food, then I'm sure they can have goulash as well.
So, in your opinion, how does the creation of this setting of a comfortable Hungarian house, which is the first one in Morocco, then give birth to business, commerce, jobs, international relations?
Yeah, your question is how?
Yeah, so so you've created this cultural center,
yes,
and learning center. Mm-hmm. How does it become the foundation for business and good relations between two countries? This is a model that I'm sure you will take to other countries.
Yes, and we are already expanding, and Mr. Balogh has a lot of other countries in mind as well. And the second one opened in Ghana, and there will be a third one in Uganda as well. So of course, it is important that people should know about it. So that's why, of course, we are trying to inform people on different channels about the existence of this house and what this house can provide for those people who need that. And I do believe that Hungarian businessmen need it because they want to do business in Africa and with African companies, but as I mentioned earlier, they need some guidance because recently it's been neglected, this area.
You were in Casablanca?
Yes.
Can you tell us about Casablanca?
Well, I was there, let me see, last year, yes, for a couple of days. And, well, it was fantastic, of course. And again, a different world, different lifestyle, different culture. So it was amazing. That's what I can say.
What did you eat? Did you find an attraction to any of the cuisine there?
Yes, we went out to eat a couple of times and try the local food, and I loved it. I loved it.
One of my teachers comes from Fez, Morocco, and I only hear, you know, things from the past. Africa close-up. Now we're moving away from the student in education, and tell us about this. People have many interests in Africa, and how is African close-up relating to that?
Well, this is the other area of our educational project, which is situated not in Africa, but in Hungary, but it's about Africa, because our aim is to spread the all the knowledge that our members and colleagues have about Africa, and it is clear now that there are a lot of people who are interested. So that's why we are launching our first course, this African close-up course. This is again the idea of Mr. Balog and Mr. André Konizsai, who is a university professor. This course will focus on different areas in connection with Africa. There will be different modules, for example, on history, on traditions and legends, religion, also on health and safety issues. Because this course is for everyone. That's what we like to say, that it's for everyone who's interested in Africa for any kind of reason. There are students who study some kind of subject about Africa. There are people who just want to go to Africa to discover it, and also, I'm sure there will be business people who would like to know more and have to know more about the continent because they want to do business there. This is the first course, and we will see what comes out of the first one, because we, of course, want to continue this. So it's not just one-off, and we want feedback from the people, what they would like to hear more about, and then we will focus on this or that a bit more according to their interests.
Are some of these visiting students from Africa that you're working with going to be part of the teaching of this course?
That's a great idea, Jay. Thank you very much. I think it's a very good idea.
When I interviewed Raymond Irambo, it was magnificent. He was talking from his heart, from his experience. And in fact, his daughter at this moment, a graduate of our famous technical university, as he is in Africa. And she called him here in Budapest and said, "Papa, I feel like I'm home." So as a teacher myself, again, of college, university age students, I always use their experience as the teaching myself.
Yes.
People always say, "I was in France, I was in England, I was in the US and Canada, and I was in Africa." What's wrong with that statement, of course, you realize? How in your programs of learning about Africa, of Africa close-up, of African students coming here to study, of the Hungarian Haas in Morocco, how do you differentiate for people's vision for their knowledge between what's happening in Egypt, Algeria, Morocco, and Northern Africa, Cote d'Ivoire on the west, South Africa, Zimbabwe in the south? How is that because it's too many people. It almost happens every week when you talk about international relations, and Africa comes up.
Yes, that's true, and I think this is not an easy job to do, but I'm sure that our experts will manage it, because those people who will be teachers or lecturers at our course, the African Close-Up, they have been in different African countries, or they are experts on not just one, but many countries in Africa at the same time. So they can, I'm sure, give some general ideas about Africa, but at the same time the specifics of this or that region as well.
As these various African countries come into their own government, their own economy, their own educational system, do you see the transition from colonial rule and domination to their own free will and to be the masters of their own country?
Yes, there is a tendency like that, definitely. I myself have only had the chance to be in Morocco, to visit Morocco and Egypt earlier. So the so-called black part of the continent I haven't been yet. But for example, in Morocco, talking to people, students, and especially the young generation, there is this tendency of trying to become a modern state, a modern country, a modern youth of their country.
Ah, so the bridging of the old traditions with the modern world.
Yes, exactly.
So click, click, and I can see the old traditions on Google, you know, on the internet. I see that you also just arrived from Jerusalem, from Israel.
Yes,
I have. Traveling.
Yeah.
Why? How? Is this a personal trip of yours?
Yes, it was a holiday, a personal trip, visiting friends and family, my friend's family. And it was amazing. It was only a week, but a fantastic experience, unforgettable, and again a country where I will definitely go back again.
Great. I lived in Israel just before I came to Hungary. So this idea of helping others, giving of yourself, of your time, of your resources to help others, is this a growing tradition now in Hungary? I ask that because I came here in 97, and my first teaching position was in one of the oldest Hungarian technical colleges and one of the oldest in Europe. It's about 165 years old now, Kando Kalman.
Oh, yes.
And I asked the students to develop a dialogue at the beginning of my English teaching, or more English communication. Tell me, students, of an instant you were walking down the street and you saw someone that needed help or assistance and you just spontaneously helped them. It's called a spontaneous act of kindness. Mm-hmm. And the students, 23 of them, one woman, looked at me and kind of squinted their eyes, and one shook his finger at me, saying, "We don't do that in Hungary." I said, "Excuse me, what is it that you don't do?" He says, "We don't help each other." But in my 16 years here, I see the proliferation of foundations, of people volunteering. Can you talk about that as you've watched it as a Hungarian, as you go to these different countries to help them help themselves? How is this proliferating in the Hungarian country and the Hungarian culture, this volunteerism of giving?
Well, I think it's volunteering is becoming fashionable. And it's not bad, because volunteering and helping each other is good. So if it starts as a fashion, or I would say that some people find it fashionable, but others just think that it's a normal way of living. Giving and helping is in their life, and it's a part of their life that is important, and it just comes from inside, just spontaneously. So I'm saying it's becoming more and more widespread among young people to not just walk past people who need help, but try and do something, at least a tiny little thing that would maybe not change those people's lives, but help a little bit. And of course, it's good for us who help. It's always kind of thing that works vice versa. It's good for those who help as well.
One of the customs we have back home in America is, let's use your example of the Moroccan student visiting Hungary. Each of those students would have a host family, mm-hmm. not necessarily to live in their home. I've helped in my early days here in the late 90s up to 2000, maybe 70 girls from this region who played basketball go to American universities. And most of the universities had a host family in the town of the university that would be like the godparents of the children. Maybe that's a good idea to initiate.
Yeah. Yes.
In your programs.
Yes, and it's not. It wouldn't be a new thing in Hungary, because we always had these exchange programs. So it already exists in Hungary and Hungarian culture, but of course it could be made much more widespread, and it could work better.